Our sermon today is based on our reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 30. You'll remember these words. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Thank you, God, for the opportunities we have to remember and celebrate Jesus Christ, the Savior whom you sent. As the theme for February is feasting, we are looking at feasts found in the Bible. There's one feast we celebrate every week. Some say disciples of Christ do it every time they meet, no matter the circumstances. Worship, a board meeting, general assembly, whenever, wherever. Church campers have been known to use chocolate milk and Oreo cookies for the elements. For disciples, communion, not the sermon, is the high point of the worship service. This is why in most disciples' churches, the communion table is front and center in the sanctuary. As I often say, as Johnny lights the candles on the communion table, this is where we meet the Christ and remember his life, his birth, his death, and celebrate his resurrection and await his return. We may recall that communion, or the Lord's Supper, has its roots in the Jewish Passover Seder, and it's essentially a reworking of that Seder. It's called the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, a word that has its roots in the word thanks. And we may remember that the Seder was instituted on the night when the enslaved Israelites escaped Egypt. Today, our Jewish brothers and sisters still remember and reenact that fateful night. They eat vegetables dipped in salt water. They partake of two whole pieces and one broken piece of matzah or unleavened bread. They eat bitter herbs such as horseradish and romaine lettuce dipped in charoset, a paste of nuts, apples, pears, and wine. And they also eat a hard-boiled egg. The bitter herbs recall the bitterness of slavery. The salt water is a remembrance of the tears of the people that the people shed under Egypt's oppression. Guests at the Seder drink four cups of wine and enjoy a feast of time-honored favorites such as chicken soup or gefilte fish. For us disciples of Christ, the focal elements from the Passover are the bread and the wine. The unleavened bread reminds the Israelites they had to leave Egypt so hurriedly they didn't have time to let their bread rise. As they eat the matzah, the Seder celebrants say, "This is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let everyone who hungers come and eat. Let everyone who is needy come and eat the Passover meal." The reason for the four cups of wine has some interesting explanations. For one, wine symbolizes freedom. The Torah, the Jewish book of the law that encompasses the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, uses four expressions of freedom or deliverance in connection with Israel's liberation from Egypt. The children of Israel had four great merits. They didn't change their Hebrew names. They continued to speak their own language. They remained highly moral, and they remained loyal to one another, even in slavery. When promising to deliver the Jews from Egyptian slavery, God used four terms: "I will bring out, I will deliver, I will redeem, and I will take." The four cups remember Pharaoh's four evil decrees: the decree of slavery, the order to the Hebrew midwives to murder all Israelite boys upon birth, the decree ordering Egyptians to drown all Hebrew boys in the Nile, and the decree ordering the Israelites to collect their own straw to use in their brick production. The four cups also symbolize Israel's freedom from four exiles, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, and Greek exiles, as well as its current exile. Jesus was a Jewish man, so he followed Jewish traditions. He looked forward to sharing that Passover with his fellow Jewish disciples that night. He said it plainly, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. knowing it would be his last one here on this earth. Jesus knew the Passover was an important ritual for the Jewish nation. He knew just what to do, the usual prayers to pray, the usual blessings to bestow, the usual hymns to sing, and his disciples knew just what to expect. And on that night, it went along just as it always had, until Jesus made it totally different. He changed the cedar from a reflection on the past to a celebration of the future. Of course, the disciples had no idea of what he was doing. They may have wrinkled their brows when he said, "This is my body," or "the body of me," as he gave them the bread, and "This is my blood of the covenant. Drink from it, all of you," as he gave them the cup. What was he talking about? God specifically told God's people not to eat, much less drink, blood. In the blood was the life of the being, but they ate and they drank, not understanding what Jesus meant. We can get kind of complacent about taking communion, and we need to watch out for that. We need to approach the table every time with ever new respect and awe. We don't need to get into the old, age-old, ongoing arguments about transubstantiation, which means the bread and the wine actually become Jesus' body and blood, or consubstantiation, which says the body and blood of Christ coexist in and with the bread and the wine, although they retain their nature as bread and wine. Don't get caught up in all those things. We need to focus on what the ritual means to us as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. We understand the bread and the cup to be symbols of a bigger mystery than we can fathom. But one day we'll know. One day we'll find out. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now we only know in part, then we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. We may hear the words of institution each week, and maybe they pass over our heads because they're so well known. I was studying this familiar scripture for this sermon, almost, I confess, with my mind on other things, precisely because it is so familiar, thinking, "I've read and said this so many times. What can I find new in it? What am I missing? I know it so well." I guess the Holy Spirit took that as a challenge, because in the course of reading Matthew 26:26, something struck me. Four words, to be exact. Four words I've said and you've heard over and over, and all at once they stood out like a flashing neon sign. Jesus took the bread. Hear it again. Jesus took the bread. He picked it up in his two hands and he lifted it on high and he gave thanks for it, and then he broke it to share with his disciples. Take, eat. Jesus took the bread. He held it in his own hands. He touched it. We know how powerful Jesus' touch can be, how it can heal, how it can help, how it can instantly change someone. Think of all the instances in the Bible where Jesus touched someone, the leper. He stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing to heal you. Be made clean." Peter's mother-in-law, he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. The blind man, he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And they could see. His disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, cowering and trembling when they heard God's voice saying, "This is my beloved son." Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And they did, and they weren't. He touched the deaf mute man's ears and tongue, and immediately he could hear and speak. He touched and blessed the little children who were brought to him. The coffin of the young man who had died, he touched it, and the man came back to life. He touched Malchus's ear and healed him. Peter had cut it off when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took the bread. He touched it. He blessed it. He set it apart and made it something special, vital, important, wonderful. He changed it. All his healing power went into the bread. He touched the cup too, raising it in thanksgiving as he had the bread. The exciting thought of touching something Jesus himself once held spurred the search for the Holy Grail. Now, I love the Indiana Jones movie about the Holy Grail, but I don't quite hold that if that exact cup is found, it will change the world, because it already has. Just as the bread has already changed us, when I take the bread and break it, I'm merely reenacting what Jesus did, invoking his power. It is again a reminder that Jesus' touch on our lives can heal us and help us, cleanse us, and even bring us back to life. The inviting words come to us again down through the ages. Let everyone who hungers come and eat. Let everyone who is needy come and eat the Lord's Supper. Everyone is invited to the table. Jesus said his blood would be shed for many, and it is not up to us to decide who is the many or how many he means and try to say no more than that. We are not authorized to send anybody away from the table the Lord has set, and at which the Lord is the host and the meal. He broke the bread, his body, that makes us whole. He poured out the wine, the new covenant that fills us up. It's not only the Last Supper, it is the lasting supper that has become a celebration of life eternal. And as they say, chayim, to life. Let us pray. God, each time we come to the table of the Lord, let the beauty and the majesty of the Last Supper refresh and renew our hearts. Let Christ's healing hand, the touch that means so much, come upon us and revive us and bless us. He touches us so we are enabled and empowered to do the holy work you sent Jesus to do. Thank you for the wonderful promise that we will drink and eat and feast together in the new kingdom when our Christ returns, when this Last Supper will be transformed into an everlasting supper of love. Amen.
When Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard I could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Lord told Moses what to do. Let my people go. He led the Hebrew and children through. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Then Miriam danced, sang her song. Let my people go. Our God has triumphed and over wrong. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Oh, let us all from bondage flee. Let my people go. And let us all in Christ be free. Let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Go down, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.